Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program, we're going to talk about a book about a Nevada legend. Paul Enos has the rundown.
Sam, today we're going to be talking to Warren LaRude about the Mark Twain of the modern era, Robert Laxalt.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, James Smack, and Andrew McKay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
To state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome to the program Warren LaRude. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner and former editor of Reno Newspapers. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. The book is called Robert Laxalt, The Story of a Storyteller. Tell me how you first met and came across Robert Laxalt.
You know, I haven't thought of that. Of course, once he published Sweet Promised Land, he was an instant great writer, because he was a great writer, and that book was a great book, and he did 17 books, and so we all just admired that book. And I most likely, he was, when I was a young guy rising in the newspaper business in Reno, he had already left the United Press, which was UP, not UPI in those days. UP, and had gone up and founded the University of Nevada Press. So I sort of knew him as he was a senior colleague to me, and I sort of, there was Bob Laxalt, you know, the great writer that a lot of us aspired to be. So I probably met him in those early years when I was still
And how did he strike you?
Well, it's like meeting so many writers. You know them through their written works of being extraordinary writers, and he was a very shy man. He was very polite, very shy, deferential, but he was very assertive and aggressive. He was a boxer. Being shy and a boxer doesn't have your career run real long.
And he was very thoughtful.
Very deep thoughtful, and where that came to be very much is when I did this research and went through all of his lesson plans and what he did to prepare when he taught at the Reynolds School of Journalism, the detail that he went into to prepare. I taught there for 32 years, and I've known a lot of really good professors and some who maybe weren't as good. But Bob Blackstock was the very best, how much preparation he would put in to that, bring that deep thoughtfulness that you mentioned.
And Sweet Promised Land was a book that went around the world.
Well, the way to describe Sweet Promised Land is if any one of us walked into Yankee Stadium for the first time and hit a home run. That's what it was. It was his first real book. He had written there was a book called The Violent Land that he had come up, but it was a collection of his newspaper columns. So the first real book that he wrote was Sweet Promised Land, and the New York Times lauded it as the story of all immigrants who came to America for opportunity, the Times of London. It just ricocheted around the world. The Miami Herald said that Bob Blackstock spoke for all immigrants, the Norwegians, the Germans, the Yugoslavs, because he told that story in such a beautiful way of why people came to America for opportunity.
But he really told the story, I mean, through the eyes of a Basque. And what is Robert Laxalt? I mean, he means a lot, you know, just being a Nevada and to Nevadans, you know, in the Nevada Hall of Fame. But what does he mean to the Basque community?
Well, I think the Basque community, Nevada is a state of immigrants, and we're celebrating our 150th year, and Bob Blackstock certainly has a great place in that as an author who wrote about immigrants. But I think we all like Basque restaurants. I think we all like Greek restaurants,
right.
But I don't know of a lot of them in Reno. I know a couple of German restaurants, but I think we all love to go to Basque restaurants. And we all have Basque friends, and they're just terrific people. And Bob celebrated the Basque people through Sweet Promised Land and that epic trip with his father, Dominique, to the Basque country. And I think everybody wanted to go out and buy a beret, and I'll tell you, a lot of them voted for Paul Laxalt when they got those berets out in his gubernatorial and senatorial campaigns.
But it did do a lot for Basque pride as well. I mean, expanding Basque festivals throughout the state.
Bob actually created the first Basque festival in Elko. That was his handiwork. And then all the others in Nevada followed. There may have been others. I'm sure there were in the Basque country and probably in Idaho as well. The biggest Basque population in America is in Boise. But there's an awful lot in Nevada, too. And almost any time any of us travel across the state to Winnemucca Elk, where do we have dinner? In a Basque restaurant.
That's right. I had dinner from the Star Hotel on Friday night. Great place. But let's talk about the hotel, because his mother ran a hotel in Carson City. His dad had sheep camps and ran livestock around Marlet Lake. But being in that Basque hotel, you know, really had a huge influence on all the Laxalt children.
Well, and there's a great story that he wrote, The Child of the Holy Ghost. This was about his mother. And Teresa had actually gone through the Cordon Bleu school in Paris. And then she came to the United States, met Dominique. In 1921, they got married. Dominique had a Cadillac. He owned a lot of livestock. And the livestock industry fell that year, the same year they were married in St. Thomas Aquinas Cathedral. She immediately then became a camp cook. And he became not an itinerant, but he became a sheep herder for other people instead of his own herds that he had lost. And so those cowboys and sheep herders never had it so good when they had breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a Cordon Bleu chef scrambling the eggs.
But really, those hotels, and you still see it today. You see it in Elko. You see it. You know, even Reno and Winnemucca. Those hotels. You still have a lot of people from the Basque country. That's where they can go and they can feel at home and, you know, speak the language from the old country.
Yeah, and you see that in the Martin in Winnemucca, the Star in Elko, the Santa Fe in Louis, in Reno. These were Basque hotels and. And they have that feel to them. I mean, the kids are running around at dinner time. The grandmothers are there. It's a family atmosphere. And they are, I've been to the Basque country in France and Spain with Bob Laxalt. We raised $1 million for that statue. And when you go to the Basque country, they're not boarding house restaurants. People go live in their own homes. They go out to dinner. There's tablecloths and there's 10 entrees, 7 of which are fresh fish from the Bay of Biscay. But the Basque restaurants in the American West were boarding house restaurants for the sheepherders who came down after months in the mountains, and they came down for R&R to rest, and that's why they were boarding house restaurants. That's why they serve the soup, and you pass the soup to people you don't know.
Yes, family style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's take a break. More on the story of Robert Laxalt, the story of a storyteller, when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, Warren LaRude is the author of Robert Laxalt, The Story of a Storyteller.
You know, getting back to the Basque Hotel, the French Hotel in Carson City that Teresa Laxalt ran, Paul Laxalt, of course, got a hobnob with politicians, and from being a little kid, they said, you're going to be governor someday. What do you think Robert Laxalt took away from that experience?
I think that all of the Laxalt kids, the four boys and two daughters, took away a sense of family. And they took that strongly from their mother, Teresa. Dominique became somewhat of a recluse in the mountains, and Teresa ran a tight ship in that family, and thus Paul Laxalt became a surrogate father because his father was off in the mountains. I think Bob was, there's always a historian in every family. There's somebody who understands the culture more than everybody else, and Bob came to really understand the culture, but he searched for it, and that's why Sweet Promised Land was so important, was that when he and Dominique went to find Dominique's heritage in the Basque Country, Bob found his own. Bob really discovered what it is to be a Basque when he took his Basque father to the Basque Country.
And that's what made that book so extraordinary.
Absolutely.
What was the thing that most surprised you? It took you 4.5 years to write this book. What was the thing that most surprised you in the writing of this book?
Well, it's such a good question. I think just how thorough he was and how deep his understanding, not simply egotistically of his own life and the Basques, but I think he understood the reader. I think really good writers understand readers. And Bob Laxalt wrote for readers. He didn't write just for himself or for God. He wrote stories that people would read. And I think that when he taught at the Reynolds School of Journalism. I took his class. Many writers in the community took his class. He taught us about to have a reverence for the readers who would spend time with what you or I would write.
Now, he didn't start out as a novelist or as a writer. He started out as a journalist.
He was a veteran United Press before UPI. It was UP. A reporter for 5 years. That was a veteran in those days. He covered gangland shootings and executions at the state prison, and he did it all. And all through, and when he would teach about writing, he would teach how Hemingway and Stephen Crane and Steinbeck made the transition from being reporters or journalists into being authors, which is what Bob Laxalt did. And there was a certain lean prose, active verbs. Hemingway said the best book that he ever had on writing was the Kansas City Star style book, active verbs, short sentences. Bob Laxalt believed in that because it was easy to read.
And, you know, similar to another author who is very famous here in Nevada, Mark Twain, gets their start in journalism.
Yeah. And they, Bill Douglas has written a very nice foreword in this book, and he points out that the three great writers in Nevada history, and again, important in the 150th year that we're going into, is Mark Twain, Walter Van Tilburg Clark, and Bob Laxalt. In the modern era, Bob Laxalt is the one that we now remember an awful lot.
Bob Laxalt was a student of Walter Van Tilburg Clark.
He wasn't a student so much as Clark was his mentor. He didn't take a class from him or anything. But Clark was a very nationally known writer for the Track of the
City
Cat,
of Trembling Leaves.
The City of Trembling Leaves. And Bob was a reporter for the United Press who wanted to write books. And there's the part of the book here is when Bob and Joyce Laxalt went up to see Walter Van Tilburg Clark and his wife in Virginia City. And they went to the Sazerac Saloon. And Clark said, "What do you read?" And Bob said a couple things, and Clark said, "Here's what you should read." He wrote out a list on a napkin, and Bob carried that napkin till his dying day.
Okay, the book is Robert Laxalt, The Story of a Storyteller, written by Warren LaRude. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Sundance Books in Reno, or Amazon.com. And one of the legendary writers, and what a wonderful guy. He was so kind to me.
And I've got to add that it was published by the Center for Bass Studies.
Okay, thank you so much. Pleasure to have you, Warren. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
When it comes to power, Senator Harry Reid delivers. And when it comes to creating clean energy jobs, no one's done more than Harry Reid. Expanding solar, geothermal, and wind energy production. Working to create thousands of good jobs here in Nevada and to make us America's clean energy leader. Call Senator Reid. Thank him for being a leader on clean energy.
Everyone's talking about Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, including the competition. Why? Because Carson has new Ram trucks starting at just $19,800. Yes, silly, it has an engine and tires. And over 10,000 off remaining 2013 diesel crew cabs with no payments for 90 days. You waited for the year's best incentives. Well, stop waiting. It's the big finish 2013 at Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, where Ram trucks really do cost less. Thank you.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
They are courteous, fast, and responsive to all my needs. Very competitive rates. They get the job done the first time, every time.
He did all my area rugs. They did my oriental rugs. And I'm satisfied with it.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, James Smack is here. He is Nevada Republican National Committeeman. Andrew McKay is chairman of the Nevada Transportation Authority. And Trey Abney, director of government relations for the chamber. So the plug was pulled last week. We didn't get a chance to talk to it last week, but it's a big deal. The nuclear option.
Yeah, I find it real interesting that people like Senator Harry Reid would pull the plug on the filibuster rules when he's been so adamant through the years that it was a good check and balance for the United States Senate. Now, since it isn't convenient for him anymore as the majority leader, he decides to pull the plug on it. I wonder if he'll have the same tune if they lose the majority in 2014.
And, you know, and is the reality that he's got 3 years minimum where he doesn't have to worry about that, and they can get as many judges, et cetera, onto not the Supreme Court, but every other court in the nation to balance things out?
Well, he has a year, because 2014, the Senate balance power in the Senate could very well turn back to the Republican side.
And that
it turns back to the Republican side, and Mitch McConnell is wielding the power of the majority at that point in time. I wonder how much whining is going to come out of Harry Reid as a minority leader at that point in time. I tend to believe that there'll be more wine than a Napa Valley at that point.
But is it fair to say that it's Harry Reid? I mean, don't you think it's a lot of the freshman Democrats, the people who haven't been there as long, who aren't as seasoned as the majority leader, who are really pushing him to do this? I mean, you got, you know, your Al Frankens and Elizabeth Warrens and Sherrod Browns who are saying, okay, we got to get rid of this. I don't think it's as much the old guard, and I don't think we can put all the blame on the senior senator from Nevada.
But I want to.
The reality is it's a quote unquote team effort. I mean, it's the senior guys, it's the freshmen, but don't discount the fact that the White House had a huge play in this thing.
And let's be honest, both sides have been full of it on this issue. Back when the Republicans
Certainly.
Were in charge and didn't have a veto-proof majority, they threatened to do the same thing. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, whatever cliche you want to use. When the Republicans take over, they'll be able to use this. Both sides have been ridiculous on it and have argued both sides of the point.
And I mean, this is a debate that has been going around since the beginning of the Republic, too. I mean, 1924, Charles Gates Dawes, as vice president, presiding officer of the Senate, stole Coolidge's thunder away by telling them, you need to get rid of the filibuster. And that's what everybody covered instead of Coolidge's inauguration. So it isn't really a new debate.
But I would like to see the filibuster used in the way it was supposed to be used, which is not fake filibusters. I'm threatening a filibuster, therefore nothing is going to get done. But like Rand Paul, get up there and talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Harry Reid, get up there and talk.
Yeah, I mean, Harry
please,
Reid,
God, don't read that book again.
Yeah, please, Harry Reid, don't read your book again. But Harry Reid has done the good old-fashioned filibuster, just like back in, I mean, Rand Paul more recently, but back in the day. His name's completely escaping me from
Mr.
South Carolina.
Strom
Thurmond. That's it. Strom Thurmond used it very effectively back when he was in the United States Senate in his younger days. So certainly that kind of filibuster absolutely should be allowed, and that's the kind of filibuster I'd like to see. Again, you're right. These fake filibusters, where you have to have the 60 votes and that, maybe not as much, but having somebody take the microphone and be able to speak for 24 hours straight or something like that, that seems to have a much more positive effect in carrying the agenda.
You know, one of the things that is burned into my mind forever was at the debates with Ronald Reagan and the other Republican candidates, I think it was New Hampshire, where Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Chairman, I paid for this microphone.
Yeah.
To be able to give him the chance to speak. I mean, that is just serious in my mind. That is a leader. And I think the filibuster, if done properly, allows people to have that opportunity. Now, the other thing you got to look at is, you know, the approval rating for Congress. I mean,
100%.
Lawyers and talk show hosts are at a higher rate, which is unbelievable. So if this Congress goes from a do-nothing Congress to a do-a-lot Congress, does that raise or lower the public's view of Congress?
I think it's always going to be low. It just is. It's the nature of the beast. And the fact of the matter is it's gonna continue to be partisan. The difference versus now is recently is when Reagan was in office, you didn't have 24-hour news. You didn't have C-SPAN that viewed everything. You didn't have Twitter, Facebook. It's out there.
Hang on,
24/7.
You know, the only people that are watching C-SPAN is The Daily Show, so they can get clips to run. I don't think
that's such a,
the whole
this is
world
some
is
inside baseball. The fact that
it's
we can get
a nap.
The fact that we can get more judges confirmed is not going to win anybody any elections. And we've seen what an active Congress did, AE i.e. Obamacare, and so it's not necessarily a good thing when Congress is
acting. Well, and the judges are one thing, but I mean, there are some things that are frightening. I mean, I look at the National Labor Relations Board. That's what scares the hell out of me, not having the filibuster and being able to use it.
Yeah, but you still got the check and balance of the House that's still in Republican control. The Senate can't just run rush.
But it has nothing to do with nominees. I mean, the House can't do anything about nominees.
But what but anything else that the Senate wants to try and railroad through, they've still got to get it passed.
It means elections have consequences, and Republicans need to win more elections so we stop these nominations from happening.
Well, you mentioned Mitch McConnell. I mean, we'll see if he can survive a Tea Party challenge from the right. I mean, that's the thing.
That's a discussion for another day, but that is certainly something he has to be worried about.
Okay, and what are your thoughts on that? Do you think he can survive?
I think that Mitch McConnell will survive a Tea Party challenge. I'm not saying whether I think that's a good or a bad thing, but I think Mitch McConnell has the resources, and I think he'll find a way to weather it. Unlike Rand Paul's opponent in Kentucky in 2010, who didn't have as deep a pockets as McConnell has, I think McConnell will find a way. And same thing with Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. I think they both will have viable challenges. But in Lindsey Graham's case, they better settle on one candidate to challenge him if they want to have any shot at it.
All right, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. Spirited discussion. We'll be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
I've been getting a lot of questions about short sales and buyback programs. These are extremely difficult situations, and you need to know all the facts, so please call me for more information. And remember, our services are always free to homeowners.
You know, I spent a lot of time with my father out in the field, so I really felt it was important to introduce both of my children to hunting and fishing and the outdoors at an early age, and hopefully they would pick that up as they got older themselves.
Hunting just really offers aspects to life with family that you couldn't really reach anywhere else. I'm proud of it because I feel like I have knowledge that I can share with those around me, and it just really makes you excited and want to share those experiences as far as hunting with other people too.
With the holidays coming, you hope all your home appliances work, right? Well, if not, Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet has just the answers for you. A new appliance at a price you'll never see again on any appliance during Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet's year-end clearance sale. Save up to $1,000 on refrigerators and cooking appliances. Save up to $500 on dishwashers, washers, and dryers. Come on down and get the buy of the year on all appliances today at Northern Nevada Appliance Outlet year-end clearance sale on South Carson Street next to Applebee's.
Labels Consignment Boutique is Reno's finest and most exciting upscale designer resale store. All the best names in town end up here. Labels Consignment Boutique on West 1st Street near downtown Reno. The designer shoppers' dream come true.
It's the Bassett Thanksgiving sale this weekend only, and there's plenty to be thankful for. Come in now and get half off our 10 best-selling accent chairs and 25% on everything else. The Bassett Thanksgiving sale. Hurry in. Sale ends Sunday.
Marshall Realty has been here for years, and we will never put you and your family in a bad situation. If you ever need any help, we're always here to assist you. Once again, thank you for making us your number one trusted resource.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow we continue Book Week with Laura Newman, author of Parallel to Paradise.
Where's Oprah when you need her? We'll see you on the next broadcast.